Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
If you have your Bibles, here we go today. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to continue sharing on the subject of the deception of immaturity. I just believe that so many of God's people are walking in immaturity and they're deceived to stay there. They're deceived and they just end up staying there. See, with prolonged immaturity, there comes danger and many issues that God did not intend for us to have. He didn't intend for us to stay there. See, life is tough. Come on. I know that you can agree with it. Life is tough when you do everything right. When you're doing everything right, it's tough. And so if that's true, how much tougher is it when you're not doing everything right? So many needless casualties in the body of Christ, and I'm sick and tired of it. And so I just felt that God would lead me to talk to Christian Ministries Church about immaturity, because many of these casualties in God's kingdom are pointing to immaturity. And we're talking about, and what we've been talking about the last few weeks, is how to transition, how to put away childish issues in your life. Now, I know you turn to 2 Timothy 4. I've been using this verse in 1 Corinthians, so let me just jump over here for a second, and then I'll get to 2 Timothy. When I was a child, I spoke, I thought, and I reasoned as a child. However, but when I grew up, when I became a man, I then put away childish things. I want to keep reiterating this. It doesn't say that when I became a man, all childish things disappeared. When I became a man, I put away childish things. See, when you become mature, a sign of maturity is that you're able to put away childish things. So have you grown up today? Have you matured? I'm not sure that there's an arrival. This is the sad part. I'm preaching about something that you never go get. In every area, I will just have to use that as my disclaimer. I'm not sure if there is an arrival. I mean, that one day you don't have to put away childish things. This week, I had to put away childish things. We were playing a card game with some of the people in our life group. And my wife is sitting to my right. And I'm just looking because she's showing me her hand. Not intentionally. But I just looked over and right then I saw Deanne looking right at me. And I'm like, well, she's showing it to me. And then I thought, okay, and I got to preach tomorrow. So put your eyes back where they're supposed to be and put away that childish thinking. See, I'm continually having to do that. And so I don't know when I'm going to get there. If I get there, I'll let you know. But I just continually find myself having to put away childish things. Can anybody else tell you? That's me. I'm like, I can't believe I just thought like that. I can't believe I just did that. If you get there, would you let me know? Because I'm trying to find out when this happens. I think that we're continually transforming and we're continually renewing our mind and we're growing daily and we're getting more and more mature. What I want to know is, can we speed things up a little bit? I've always thought like this. I remember when I was 5, I wanted to be 7. And I remember at 7, I wanted to be 9. And at 9, I wanted to be 13. And I'd hear my mom and dad say, he is the oldest 10-year-old you'll ever meet in his own mind. He thinks he's older than he is. Because I never wanted to be the age I was. At 13, I wanted to be 16. Because all the cool people had cars, and I wanted to be a car owner and driver. And at 16, I wanted to be 21. Just so many things in life. I never wanted to be the age that I was. I wanted to be older until I got to 39. Then it kind of went in reverse. I don't know what happened. It's like, oh man, to be 23 again. But know this, it is for all of God's children to put away childish things and grow up and mature in Christ. I know that there are seasons and times of life we want to be past where we're at. I get that. The way we get past where we're at is recognize where we're at and put that away. But I want to speed it up. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2 is my passage today here. Preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season. Convince, if you have King James, it says reproof. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine or teaching. Let me just hang there for a second. The Apostle Paul is writing this young pastor and saying, here's what you have to be doing. You have to preach the word. You have to preach the word and be ready all the time. Preach the word, be ready all the time. When we are faithful, when we are loyal to God's word, as it is declared and as it is preached, there are five things, and I'm just going to talk for the next 30 minutes on all five of these things. I'm going to hit them up, down, backwards, and forwards. But five things today that you got to know that transpire through the preaching of God's word. That's why it's important to be under the preaching of God's word. Because there are five things that happen, and we've got to get some people from immaturity to maturity, and there are five ways that that happens. And so I want to talk about that today, because I think in the church, we're not getting any maturity because we don't understand five ways to get people to maturity. It's just a sad deal, but this is where we're at. He's telling this young pastor, there are going to be times that it is fun to preach. And people are going to lean in. They're going to press in. They're going to go, give it to me, give it to me. Let's hear it. I want to know. Then, I mean, you're going to have times that that's the case. And then there's going to be other times that people are going to look at you like a deer in the headlights. I can't believe what you're saying. Paul's telling him, as you're preaching the word, there are five things that happen. Reproof, rebuke, exhortation, and there is through all of that, long suffering or patiently enduring, if you will, and there's got to be sound doctrine. Let's keep reading in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, shall they pile up to themselves teachers having itching ears? Okay, we got to stop. This is where we are in our society right now. This is exactly where we are. You have to know that we are not getting into sound doctrine in our society. It's only going to be sound doctrine through the preaching of the word. So sound doctrine happens. What's sound doctrine? Knowing what is right and what is wrong. What is good, what is evil. What's up, what's down. What's saved, what's lost. What's satanic, and what is Christ-like. See, that's sound doctrine. And it says that people will not endure. They won't endure sound doctrine. Why? Because they've given into their own lusts. They've given into their own wants. People are going to find someone to tell them what they want to hear. And right now in society, this is right where we are. I can't talk to anybody and just share sound doctrine. I have to hear first what their own itching ears are wanting to believe. And they have piled up a bunch of people off of YouTube or off of the national news or off of something that says, this is the way it is. Now, you might say, okay, here we go. We're in the ditch. I didn't talk about which ditch. We've got them on both sides of the aisle. I understand this. Some are saying this. Some are saying this. Some are saying A. Some are saying B. Some are saying C. What I'm telling you is we better get to the foundation of sound doctrine, and that is the word of God. And that then will give us the direction we go. But we can't go with what a scientist, what a doctor, what a computer expert. We can't get what any of these people are trying to tell us is the truth before the Word of God. The Word of God has to come before we hear anything else. What's true? The Word of God. The Word of God, that's what's true. And people are finding, because they have itching ears, whatever they want to hear. 2 Timothy 4:4 says that they will turn their ears away from the truth. This is sad, and I meditated this, and I thought this is right where I'm seeing it day in and day out. There are those who will turn their ears away from the truth and literally attack those who are preaching the truth. Persecution, prosecution, and in some places in our world, execution is happening for those that are preaching the truth. Don't you think for a second that you won't be able to refer in your lifetime back to July 17th and recognize that persecution, prosecution, and even execution you're going to see because of the preaching of God's word, which is the truth, because it will eventually come against what the narrative of our culture is. And I'm wanting to be on the front end of this. We got to know where to go. We got to know where to go. The only way to be made free is to be a disciple of Jesus and to know the truth. Why? Because the Bible says the truth will set you free. John 8, verse 31 says, Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If the truth is what makes us free, then what are all the lies intended to do to us? The lies are to put us in bondage. That's what the lies do. They ensnare the ignorant, they ensnare the innocent, and they ensnare the immature. That's what the lies do. That's why it's important that we here at CMC are sold out to the Word of God and we're speaking it in love. It's the only hope for a generation. Paul telling this pastor, but you be watchful in all things in verse 5. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. As I was studying this topic for today, I once again began to see the parallels between raising children and raising children. Raising children and raising babes in Christ. There is such a parallel. If you have raised children, you should understand the difference between immature and mature. This morning I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about the difference between immature and mature. And I watched my daughter walk right around me to head out while my son-in-law is walking around this corner and they're just rotating. Because they're so immature. No, it's not about my daughter and son-in-law being immature. They're holding some immaturity. And they're rotating them out. And what I'm telling you is that rotating in and out, parents, thank God for you. Don't leave them in here to be immature. Rotate them out. Deal with the immaturity and then bring them back into maturity. I love that. We've not got kids operating out of running up and down the aisle and bringing immaturity into the house. No, we're going to rotate them out, get them mature, bring them back in. There's a rotation. I just thought about that this morning. I thought maybe that'll help somebody. Because here's the thing. We understand as parents that they don't just all of a sudden, wham, they're mature. The process should be understood. Taking a child in the natural to maturity is difficult and time-consuming. It's time-consuming. It's no different in the spiritual realm with his kids. It's no different. Children, the challenges are extreme. Come on, parents. Is it not challenging at 1, 2, 3 years of age? And your only hope is for the one day that it'll be easier. My daughter just this week just said, okay, we about got Brooklyn here. And now Lane for the next year. And I said, yeah, I just hate that for you. He was doing so good at sleeping. Now he's up every 5 minutes. And it's like, well, good grief, am I ever going to get to sleep? She goes, Dad, it's just for a year. Well, when she said that, I thought, see, she's got hope for a future. Because we as parents, that's how we get through those sleepless nights. One day I'll be able to sleep. One day my child will grow out of immaturity to maturity. One day, come on, those of us that are parents, we remember our kids growing up. Some of y'all are right in the middle of it right now, and you can't not forget. I mean, I remember every day. I'm sure you heard at some point, for you parents that had kids, I'm going to go live with grandma and grandpa. Any parent have their kids say that? I'm going to go live with grandma and grandpa. What they're saying is, I don't like what you're doing. I don't like the way you're parenting me. And I know that grandma and grandpa give me whatever I want, and I'm just going to go live with them. And there are times I'm like, go, they'll send you home. There were times I thought that. Now I know from a grandparent, I will send them home. The best part is they send them over after naps. They're all ready to go, and we can have fun. And when they get tired, we're like, hey, come get them. We're done. And so I understand the process. Grandma and grandpa are done, and they know that you can send them there, but grandparents aren't going to keep them. They're going to send them back. Paul said, if you preach the word, there are five things that are going to happen. And when you look at these five things, I want you to see them today in a way that I believe will give you an understanding, maybe like you've never seen it before. Of these five things that happen, reprove, rebuke, exhort, in patient endurance, and in teaching correctly. Three of these five are in the form of correction. Come on, as the word of God goes out to mature his people, three of the ways that Paul was telling Timothy, Paul's telling his preacher, three of the ways this happened are through correction. And two of them are the model of how you correct. Do you see this? The last two are how you do the first three. And as parents, we had to do this. We had to deal with children this way. This is not a parenting class, but it could be. It's about moving from immaturity to maturity and how it happens. Number one, reprove. Reprove means mild correction, gentle convincing, convincing. Everyone parents in this season at some point, and they've tried to convince their children, their little baby preciouses, that listen, you don't want to do this. This is not good. Come on, do it like this. I'm telling you, don't touch that. Come on, let's not do that. Let's not do that. Maybe our culture has not done that. See, you need to turn away from that, young man. Young lady, you got to turn away from that. Don't do that. That's not wise. That's not going to work out well for your life. And so this reproof, this I'm trying to help you and I'm trying to correct what you may not even see here. But maybe our culture is looking real dark right now because of illegitimate parents, not illegitimate kids. We're blaming the kids for a lot of different things that we have not corrected a generation. We haven't given mild correction, gentle reproof. So maybe we're having some of the problems we're having because we haven't gently corrected. Rebuke is a little more stern. Just the word in itself, I think you understand. It's a strong, strict disapproval that says, no, don't put your hands here, no. It'll burn you. Don't put your hand. Well, they'll do it once. Yeah, they'll do it once. They won't have a hand anymore. You rebuke them before they put their hand there. That's not what we're doing. We're not going to do that. And so there are some ways that we've got to understand that. And there were times it's just, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And then there are other times, absolutely not. That's rebuke. Can we? No, absolutely. Everyone has heard parents say, and you being a parent at times have probably said, absolutely not. There are certain lines that we've drawn in the sand. Now here's the deal. I try to minimize those as a parent. I try to minimize it. I don't sit there and every time, absolutely not, absolutely not. I try to say yes every opportunity I get, but there are some things that absolutely not. Drugs and alcohol, absolutely not. Well, here we go on drugs and alcohol again. I'm not legalistic. I've just seen good lives destroyed. I've seen careers ruined, marriages destroyed, child abuse. I've seen it generationally. I've seen it in my own family. Absolutely not. Well, Pastor, you shouldn't be preaching on that. Show me the fruit in it and I'll change everything. But I can show you story after story. So when I was raising my kids, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't care. And here's why I don't care. Because I never heard someone say, alcohol and drugs made my life better. I'm telling you, because I took that first sip, my marriage just went to another level. Because I'm just absolutely not. It's destroyed lives. I'm not okay with that. Jesus was very clear and rebuked the disciples on a lot of areas. His biggest one he rebuked them on was unbelief. He knew that unbelief sent people to hell. So he would tell them, absolutely not. He couldn't have that amongst the disciples. Now, here's the next one, exhortation. Exhort is my favorite. It means to strongly encourage or to affirm. When you exhort, you're giving them warnings in a positive nature or you're cautioning them. You're not accusing them. You're not judging them. But it's an area that we have to edify and we have to strongly encourage. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. And says, watch out for this over here. Be careful over here. I did that a whole bunch with my kids. You know why? Because kids need exhorted. See, if we're going to move them from immaturity to maturity, they got to be exhorted. And I have watched parents that never exhorted their kids be defeated, watch depression come on. I mean, time and time again. Let's go on. Long-suffering, patient endurance. You do reproof, rebuking, and exhorting with endurance. You do it continually, and you be patient as you're doing it. We get children while we are still immature ourselves in our world. Come on. I remember at 20 years of age, I thought, I have arrived. I'm ready for kids. At 24, God gave me my first. I'm like, okay, I'm ready. And I wasn't. I mean, there are so many, as I look back, I've just realized how many immaturities that I walked in when God gave me. And I think one of the reasons is it made me recognize my immaturity. And I realized there's some things I had to put away. I had to put some things away. Why? Because life's bigger than just me. Now I've got someone, well, I already was married. Yeah, but she can take care of herself. She's a grown adult. But this baby's totally dependent upon me. And then as I started realizing my need to take care of my baby, I realized that my wife also was going to be putting into her, and I better start looking out for my wife. See, there were some things that God matured me in because I got a real dose of an understanding of how immature I was. Now, it took some time. It took some time. Here's what I can tell you. Long-suffering grows on you as you grow in the Lord. It does, because now I'm a pawpaw. And being a pawpaw is awesome. The second round is much easier. A grandparent, I believe, is way easier, and I'm speaking with a knowledge now than parenting. Parents, I'm trying to give you some hope right now. Grandparenting is wonderful. I find myself saying, it's okay, you're going to be all right. Come here, let's not do that because if mom and daddy see this, come here. Come here. As a grandparent, I'm trying to lead them and exhort them in a way that will bless their life instead of just go ahead, do it one more time. I'm not doing that no more. I've got patience. You've got to be patient in all forms of discipline. And it will protect against you getting into emotional discipline. People start getting this emotional discipline, and when we discipline out of emotion, you can know we've got it messed up right then. It's the same thing in church. You can't let emotions get out of whack. We can become impatient with immaturity in the church, and you got to be careful. All positions of leadership have to have patience and endurance with immaturity, or they shouldn't be in leadership. If you're frustrated with all immaturities, I can tell you people won't follow you anywhere you have to go. And I'm grateful that God was patient with me in my immaturity. And he sent people who were patient with me and walked me through it. All right, let's go in reverse order now. We went that way. Now let's go backwards. Let's go to teaching and doctrine. Hebrews 5, verse 11 says, since you have become dull of hearing. Here a couple weeks ago, I talked about dull of hearing and how we as a people get to the place where we're not listening to the word of God. We're dull of hearing. Yeah, I know there are times I'm looking at your face and I believe you're hearing everything that God has given me to talk about. And there are times I'm looking at your face and I got off of what God was talking to me. I just went down a rabbit trail because I just my mind went that way and I just like to talk. And so there are times I look at you and I see your face and I think, man, you're paying attention to everything I'm saying and I'm being deceived. Why? Because I know the Bible is real clear and there are times that we're dull of hearing. I put on a teaching sermon the other day while my wife was not with me and I had it playing and it probably would look like I had it on so that I could deceive her and I really wanted to nap. And when she came in, I was going to wake up real quick and yeah, that was really good, wasn't it? That was what it looked like to her, but really I put it on with the intent of listening to it and I got dull of hearing. And I went to sleep. Come on, anybody ever done that? How many of you read your Bible at night and you fall asleep reading it? Has that ever happened to anybody? What happened is you got dull of hearing. And the enemy will try to tell you, well, then you better quit reading the word. That's not giving it respect. That's a lie. That's a lie. We all face this dull of hearing mechanism. And we face it and we're like, you got dull of hearing. That's all right. You became aware of it. Now wake up. So my wife walks in and I'm listening to this CD and sure enough, I was asleep. And I said, I just listened to a CD. And she said, you were asleep. Well, I started out with the right intent. And so I just want you to think on this for a minute because verse 12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. I want you to think about this for a moment. He just unveiled here a secret in correcting them of what all of us should be doing. All of us are in and should be in a habitual stage of being taught. We've got to a place where we just habitually are receivers. We're all the time being taught. We're all the time being taught. All of us should be there. Now we also should be teaching. We go from a convert to a disciple, and once a disciple, you should be learning certain things. And as you learn those certain things, you start communicating those things. You grow by sharing what God is doing in your life. I was just talking to Jared this week. Maybe it was the week before, but we were talking about this, and he said something, and I thought, he's got it. He said, I'm learning way more than anybody I'm teaching is learning. Why is that the case? Because he wants to make sure he has received it before he communicates it. That's a great tool. Here's the problem. We've got a bunch of receivers that are not communicating. Well, no one's asked me to teach. You ought to be in crowds and in environments where you just start opening your mouth and sharing the goodness of God. There ought to be opportunities in all of your life, not just in church on Sunday mornings, that you're growing by sharing what God is doing. If you don't have anybody to give you attention, just go get in line at Walmart. There's always somebody wants to talk to you. And there's a lot of people that don't say anything. Those are the people you can talk to. Just start talking. Start sharing how good God is. All of us should be doing this. We should be in a place where we're sharing what God is doing. Let me just give a plug for Wednesday nights again. That's what God is doing. He's allowing people to share how good God has been, and the things that they've been discipled in are coming out, and they're teaching everybody else, and we're all receiving how good God is. I just said, the young people Wednesday night, as they were sharing, all in their teens and early 20s, I'm sitting here going, wow, 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 wow. I kept going, that was profound. Did you hear that? Truth and love, did you hear that? Did you hear wow! And I'm sitting here going, I'm receiving because of what God has already shown them in their life. All right, I'm done with my plug. In feeding people what Jesus has fed me, Oftentimes, he's fed me through what others have taught me because of the goodness he's been in their life. I end up getting it back to myself. That's the blessing of teaching. Are you being blessed because you're a teacher of God's word? Well, I'm not a teacher of God's word. That's because you're not sharing. Share. The blessing of God's word is very evident in Luke 6. I give, I get it back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I mean, running over, is that your life? Start sharing the goodness of God. You're in need to either be taught or be teaching. You can't wait till you know everything to teach. You just can't wait that long. You can't. God doesn't require me to teach you what I don't know. I have had people leave the church because they asked me a question that I didn't know. I'm not kidding you. They've left the church because I couldn't give them. Now, I've always said, let's work on figuring out the answer to that together. But they expected me to know everything. And what I'm telling you as pastor of this church, there are times I say, I don't know. But I'm willing to go to the Word and find it out. Can we go together? Can we do this? God doesn't require me to teach what I do not know. He requires me to teach what I do know. When I don't know, I need to be honest and say I don't know. But that doesn't change what I do know. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody today. I know that I am. Never let what you don't know rob you of what you do know. Let me say that again. Never let what you don't know rob you of what you do know. It's one of the biggest tools of the enemy. You go through a trial, you go through a tribulation. Many get confused in that trial. They don't understand. And too often, people let it start making them question what they do know. Don't let that trial question what you do know. Matthew 28 is so clear. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to talk about it because everybody knows the scripture. The devil is doing his best to try to steal the word of God out of your heart. And the sad part is, he's doing that on a national scale, but he's starting individually. Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. Jesus said, because all power has been given, has been obtained, has been poured out on him, whatever version you're reading, all power has been given to Jesus. He says, because of that, you who are my followers, go and teach all, what's it say? Nations. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. I mean, you can just read the end of Matthew 28. It's just real clear of what we're to go teach. And we are commanded, church, hear this, we are commanded to teach nations, not just individuals, nations. Some get confused when I deal with the nation in my sermon. Here's what you need to know. The corruption in our government is real. Government comes from God. And all those in government will be judged by God. And they need to be warned that the power is not theirs. The power is not yours. The power is not mine. All power is delegated power. None of us have any power. It's delegated. And you use it based on your accountability to God. And we are to discipline nations with the word of God. You say, well, I don't have any power to do that. You're right. Apart from the word, you don't. But with the word, you can do all things. Because we don't know the Great Commission. There are sheep nations. There are goat nations. I'm on a rabbit trail right now, but you've got to know. I'm not preaching on all this, but I want to give you a statistic that scares me. 98% of people that go to church are still confused on whether or not we should speak on political issues in the church. 98% are... very seldom do I teach on that I don't hear something about it. And it's just, well, I don't know if... 98% of people that go to church are confused on whether or not we should speak on political issues. I agree that our major focus should be on the heart of man. But to neglect social issues that are destroying families and children and culture and immaturity is running rampant in the church is the church's responsibility. We got to talk about it. We got to talk about it. We are so immature. We will not reproof where needed. We won't rebuke when needed. We won't exhort. We won't be patient while doing it. And we're not teaching sound doctrine because we don't know what's right and what's wrong. Teaching church is vital. So as I'm going in reverse order, we're going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We've got to know sound doctrine, teaching. It's vital. Most, if not all, of acceptable behavior is taught. Let me say that again. Most, if not all, of acceptable behavior is taught. Come on, parents, we understand that. Kids don't just one day say, huh, give me the toothbrush and some toothpaste and let me just brush my teeth because I just think that's what I need to do. No kid does that. They're taught. Acceptable behavior is taught. You don't have to, you have to teach them to take a bath. And if you don't, I've been around some that have not been taught. We're confused in the church whether it's our job to teach right and wrong. Come on, why did we get no confusion when it comes to using a toothbrush in immaturity, but yet we can't bring God's people to maturity that are in immaturity and teach them how to operate? Here's what the culture's teaching. Well, here's what the Word of God's teaching. And it's, sorry, I'm getting a little hyper. Teaching's vital. We're confused. A child left to himself will bring his mother shame. That's what the Word says. You got to teach him to go to bed. Otherwise, they'll sleep in every morning. There are some people who were never taught, go to bed. Well, I can't go to sleep. Start reading your Bible. You'll get dull of hearing and you'll be asleep like that. I'm just telling you. Well, they just can't go to bed that early. You get them up at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock every morning for 2 weeks, they'll be wanting to go to bed at 8 p.m. Please let me go to bed. Sorry. We're missing some things that are just easy. We're missing these teachings, but when the church teaches, this is what God says about this, the church is looked at as being mean and meddling in society. Young people growing up and never taught that abortion is wrong, that's the church's fault. Young people not being taught to get married before living together, that'd be the church's fault. Young people growing up knowing, not having a clue homosexuality is wrong. I can see where they could grow up not thinking that if the church isn't teaching it, because I can tell you society's not. I'm going in stores already that don't have a man and woman's bathroom. I am. They've taken the signs down. I've seen it in several places. If we're not careful, we're going to wake up Sunday and we're going to look back and go, what happened? Now, we should never be mean towards people who are in a situation that the Bible clearly calls sin. But we can't keep our mouth shut about it. We've got to teach about it in love. We can't be silent. Leaving people in immaturity is not going to produce. Are you hearing me? It's not going to produce. And if we're not careful, we'll wake up one day and genocide will be debated on a Christian stage of whether or not it's right or wrong. Because we're doing that on Christian stages with a lot of things that clearly the Bible says is wrong. There are things we're going to have to rebuke the culture on and say, absolutely not. Come on, you understand that with your kids. Can we not get that with mature people into a place where they understand that the Word has got to be real? Deception is in the church and immaturity has to be dealt with at all levels. And if we're not knowledgeable of the Word, we're not going to be able to teach on it. Come on, church, if you're not knowledgeable of the Word, you can't teach on it. If you don't know the Word of God, it's not going to come out your mouth. What's not in you can't come out of you. It has to be in you. Get the Word in you. The truth is in the Word and truth is freedom. Truth is freedom. Come on, we're looking for freedom. We're watching freedom disappear. The only way truth happens is for it to come into us, and the truth is the Word of God. It's not what a scientist says. It's not what this person said. It's the word of God. That's how truth gets in you, and then truth comes out of you. And truth, my friend, is freedom. Number two, or number four, if we're going backwards, 5-4, is long-suffering and patience. How many times have we suffered because we're not patient? Love is patient and it's kind. And if we're going to operate in truth, we also have to operate in love. I'm not going to get into all of that. Shelby, you did a great job Wednesday night of just explaining it in a few words. I should have wrote down what you said. There's reason why we are not able to operate in both. And the reason is the deceiving ability of the enemy. He gets you in one ditch and they both got to be in the same place. Let's go to exhort. We get long suffering and patience. So number three, whether you're going forward or backwards, it's right in the middle. No, exhort. Means affirm. Children have to be exhorted. Come on, we already mentioned that. They get discouraged. It's not abnormal. They constantly need to be told, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. There is a doctrine right now in the church world that teaches that all people are good. There's a doctrine that teaches that all people are good. Everybody is God's children. You know, here's the thing. It's amazing that Jesus didn't know that. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but right now there's so much Jesus didn't know that our enlightened culture has come to know. Please don't quote me on that like that was. All of us came from God. All of us are loved by God, but there are none of us good without God first. That's the only reason good can happen. Man gravitates to darkness and hell. That's what man gravitates towards. People can do good things. However, none of us do anything good without the goodness of God. God makes us good and he makes us righteous. Your children say, Dad, how many times are you going to say that? I'm going to say it until you get it. Because it's the goodness of God that allows anything good into our life. Exhorting is constant and it's consistent. Rebuke. Hebrews 12. Turn it with me for just a second. Verse 5. On the word rebuke, Hebrews 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? A father cares, and he doesn't ever do that out of wrath and anger. That would be an emotional response. He does that out of love. The only reason any of us ever tell our kids absolutely not is because we love them with all that we are. So the only reason God's word says absolutely not is because he loves us with everything that he is. Absolutely not. Here's the problem. Somehow or another, when we in church say absolutely not, we're not doing that. We're not doing that here. We're not doing that here. It was done out of love. It was never done out of meanness. It wasn't done out of anger. It wasn't done out of a situation to try to get, it's got to be my way. Revelations 3, 19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Children often forget the exhortation. They'll forget. You can do better. You did good. Good job. Come on over here. Good job. Keep doing that. You're going the right direction. Good job. Come on. You can do this. You can do this. You got this. In the body of Christ, it's no different. We forget the exhortation, but we never forget the rebuke. And either we will remember the rebuke because it changed our life or it moved us away from God. And all that's the choice of who received the rebuke. If it was done in love. And I've not heard it done in church that it wasn't done with a matter of looking out for God's people. All right, moving on to reproof. Mild correction, convincing people of the truth. Proverbs 9:7. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Church, know this. If you correct certain people, even if it's a gentle reproof, it's just a gentle correction, they'll go right behind your back and they'll put you down for doing it. That's immaturity. Well, I got in trouble for this. That comment shows your immaturity like that. Well, I got in trouble. Here's what they got in trouble for this. You're so immature. At what point can you go, I'm just going to make a change. I got that, and I'm going to make a correction here. And that was all done with the right attitude. Kids do the same thing. They go right behind their parents' back when their parents just reproof. They try to do something like that. Come on, every parent here has dealt with this. I just tried to help you here. I'm just saying. And they go right behind and they tell their friends how horrible their parents are. They won't let me go. Verse 8 of Proverbs 9. Do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he'll still be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Let me just tell you, our public education system has got to a place where we don't do any correcting anymore. They need to think and just have the freedom to be everything that they think they ought to be, even if it's another gender, even if it comes against the Word of God. We need to give them the freedom to do whatever. We had to have a counter to what was going on in the culture. We have right now in our area, my understanding, transgenders being allowed to operate as a right of passage and choice in a public environment. Here's the thing. It's directly against God's word. I'm not going to be okay with it. And if I offend anybody, I'm hoping that you will hear me say, I'm rebuking it. Absolutely not. And the problem is God's people aren't doing it enough now in the public system. And we've got a problem. And I'm not backing down. I'm not going to be a pastor who gets away from the word. Absolutely not. You give instruction to a wise man and he'll be wiser. The problem is we're giving instruction to immaturity, and I understand that. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Ephesians 5:11, I have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Let me read that again, church. This is for us. I have no fellowship, that means hanging out with, going and being a part of, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We are to bring the light of truth and expose the darkness that's going on in our culture. Ephesians 5:12, for it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. A Congress right now in our world is passing, they're enshrining into law that you can't tell your children something is wrong. Are you kidding me? No. They are putting into law. They are bringing race theories into, I've got so much more to say about this, but I don't have time. You come back, I'm going to be talking more and more about it. We're wanting to move away from racism, we're plunging right into it. We can't tell our children that something is wrong. Corruption is still corruption. Government should never define good and evil. The Bible already did. So many is going to suffer from this. Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Preaching the truth in love, attacking what God set up is very dangerous, but preaching the truth in love is God's way of doing it. All things reproved are made manifest by the light. And Ephesians 5:14 says, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Church, I ask you today, what's it going to take? Are we just going to wake up one day and literally be told where we can go to work, where we can work, what kind of work we can do? Are we going to wake up one day and be told where we can move, when we can and can't move? where you can live, where you can't live, what career you can have or you can't have, who's going to raise your children, and who's going to tell them what they can and can't be taught. Don't think we're not right on the brink of that. There are some serious things, and it's so simple, it's frightening. How immature the church is and how we're coasting along is just bringing death into the scene, and we're flowing with the darkness. We got to say no, absolutely not. We're not doing that. I don't know what it's going to take, but we got to wake up. We got to wake up. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of light. Proverbs 6:23. We are going to be living in a place very quickly where you have no voice if the church don't stand up and say, wait a minute here. These five things that Paul told Timothy about all come from the Word. It's how we raised our kids, or we should have. We brought them from immaturity to maturity. We're going to have to do it in the church. We got to have maturity. Let the Word allow you to recognize the immaturities in your life, and let's move to maturity. Let's move to maturity. Y'all stand with me this morning.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.